Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome to the heartland of Israel. This is David Ha'ivri, a Hebrew in the heartland, on Israel News Talk Radio, every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, and on the archive. Come in and listen to the show. Enjoy. Send in your comments. Let me know if you're enjoying the show. You can send in a voice message if you would like to the on the webpage on Israel News Talk Radio. There is a black tab on the right-hand side of the page that says voicemail, and you can tape a message to me. And if it's relevant, I will include it in the show. Today, we are going to be speaking with Inon Dan Kehati, who is a peace activist. He is a Jewish man who is engaging with the Arab residents of Judea and Samaria and Jerusalem on the basis of Israeli sovereignty in all of the land and their involvement. He's cleaning up the hate. He has an organization called The Home, and they organize cleanups with Jews and Arabs getting together in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria to clean up, to show our mutual love for the land and to kind of erase the hostilities between our peoples. So he is a very special fellow, and he has a unique and a different operation than we've seen before. Some of what he's doing is very unexpected. And we'll be speaking with him and hearing about what he's doing and about his special outlook. And maybe we will learn something. And really, this is very timely because after President Trump, the President of the United States, announced that he recognizes Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, he said that he is open to hear other ideas from the ground on how to resolve our issues here. So it's very interesting to hear people like Inon, who are actually out there on the ground developing realistic alternatives for the future, for the people who live here and who wish to live here in peace under the sovereignty of the State of Israel. We're going to be taking a commercial break and hearing some news, and then we will be back. So don't go away. We have a really exciting show in store for you today. In the meantime, share it with your friends and send in your comments. Come right back after the break.
Israel is located in one of the most volatile areas in the world. Israel is an island of stability in a sea of war and unrest. In the midst of this turmoil, Israel stands out as a beacon of order and human progress. Each week we update you on what's happening in this, the Jewish state, a true light unto the nations. This is Jay Shapiro. Join me every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
All right, everyone. Today, we have a very special guest. We will be speaking with Inon Dan Kehati, who is an Israeli peace activist. And he is a special and unique in the area of peace activists because he is a proud Israeli Jew who believes in the importance of the sovereignty of the State of Israel in all of the areas that Israel liberated in 1967. Which might seem unexpected. I'm glad that I have the opportunity to engage with Inon, and I think that you too will be glad to hear what he thinks and what he's up to. Inon, welcome on the show.
Thank you very much. Shalom uvracha, David, and Merry Christmas to all our Christian friends who are listening right now.
Inon, if I was not precise in my introduction, you can feel free to correct me. And in any case,
I did want to do that in the beginning because when you presented me as a peace activist, this is a title I refuse to have because, you know, I know that you meant well, but many peace activists today are doing, in my opinion, exactly the opposite from peace. So
Inon is not a peace activist. He's a activist who is trying very hard to achieve peace, but he's not in the company of those people who are professional so-called peace activists and are bringing us in the opposite direction. You know,
True. Even though I must say that I do have connections also with these people from these organizations, but their path and their ideology is very, very different than mine. And also, if I may add, very important thing, I don't receive European or American money to do what I do. It's only from my own pocket. And we don't work in the home under foreign agendas, which is something that most, if not all, peace, so-called peace organizations do, unfortunately.
So, you know, you mentioned the home. I understand from my discussions with you that the home is a type of outfit and organization. Tell us about the home. When did this start, and what is it about?
Well, the home started in the end of 2014. And basically, the home is an evolutionary process of building a platform for cooperation between all identities, tribes, and nationalities and beliefs that reside in the land of Israel from the river to the sea. And our goal is basically to make a grassroots process of bottom up from people and communities in order to do social activities, brainstorms, and develop political mindsets that will break finally the two-state solution paradigm. And the idea also is that eventually we want to get to the outcome that all of the land of Israel, whether if Palestinians call it Palestine or we call it Eretz Israel Hashlema, the whole land of Israel, must be the home of every identity that lives here, but under Israeli sovereignty. And this is the difference.
This is actually a very, very big difference, because for over 25 years, all of the so-called peace activists, anyone who presented himself as someone who was aiming towards peace in the region, they all had the same concept as the sole solution. There must be a two-state solution. Israel must remove itself from the so-called West Bank and establish a country that is ruled by the PLO. And that is the only way that we can achieve peace. That's what all of these geniuses have been telling us from all over the world, and you're saying something different.
Well, I'm saying basically, look, they gave us, in a way, you know, although all the bad that they did, they also did something positive, because they taught us what not to do. They taught us also what doesn't work. And this, from their experience and from their failure, I have a lot to learn and implement. The idea also that Jews should remove Jewish communities from the heart of the land, which is basically in our souls. I mean, Jews didn't pray to come back to Tel Aviv, Netanya, Haifa. They prayed to come back to Beit El, Hebron, and Yerushalayim. And this is something that no Jew living in the 2000s can take away, the prayers of 2,000 years the Jews prayed to come back to these places. So morally, it's very important to put this issue in the center. And also regarding the Palestinian people. The Palestinian people also have roots in this land. They also belong to this land. I'm not talking about Hamas and Islamic Jihad that needs to be fought and deported, basically. I'm talking about simple, normal, ordinary people that live behind the wall, and they also deserve the conditions, the proper conditions to live normal and proper, prosperous life.
So what you're saying, Inon, is really, it makes a lot of sense, but it's revolutionary in many ways. And one of the things I would like to ask you, and I'm sure that many people who hear what you are saying say, well, what would the Palestinians say? Is there anyone on the other side who would agree to what you are suggesting?
This is the big question that it's a big question mark. You see, the Palestinian people live under dictatorship, whether it's the PA or Hamas. If you know the fact that there's no real freedom of speech in the Palestinian areas, and when Palestinians meet and take pictures with Israelis, many times they will find themselves in interrogations or in jail, or, you know, being harassed by their own people, you know, by the extremists. So people don't really speak up. And we don't really know, also given the fact that there were no elections in the Palestinian Authority. from, I think, 2005, and in Gaza from 2006. So basically a leadership that was not elected by their own people cannot really reflect what the people want and what the people choose. So we need to make clarifications and understand the big picture regarding also what the Palestinian people say, but they don't have the ability to say what they want. And from my personal experience, you know, I listen like all of you to the news. I watch what happened on social media. I see all the hate and I see all the anti-Israeli, anti-Zionist, you know, vibes from Palestinians and Arabs and Muslims, basically. But from my experience, being on the ground and meeting not 10 and not 100, probably 1,000 of Palestinians and talking with them about all the core and taboos and, you know, all the issues basically on the table, I see a very, very different picture. And in the Middle East, basically the truth is under the table, not above it. It's a very known rule for those that live here. So we need to make these clarifications and see. I don't know, maybe 80% of the Palestinians do not want to live with us in peace. Maybe 80% do. But until we're going to have this process of giving people the freedom of expression and the freedom also to think loudly, we will not know.
By the way, speaking about clarification and about being politically correct, on this station, on Israel News Talk Radio, our station managers don't like us to use the term Palestinians or Palestine. And we usually make a disclaimer and say the so-called Palestinians and the Palestinian Authority and so forth. And I think that comes from a school of thought that just by saying this word, we are in some way acknowledging the two-state solution and the rights of these people to be a nation and to have a claim on the land. How would you respond to that?
I think that basically what matters is the essence and not the terminology, although some people will disagree with me and that's okay. You see, when I speak with Palestinians, I do know the quotation marks in my hand, so, you know, nobody will get offended. when I speak with Palestinians, I recognize that for them, they were raised that all of the land is Palestine, from the river to the sea. But every time that I speak with them, I emphasize that for me, all of the land is Eretz Israel, from the river to the sea. And we need to focus on basically the present and the future, and not too much on the past, because past is something that we cannot change. But we do need to make this process of recognition, mutual recognition, regarding who we are, where we came from, and what roles we play in the big picture. And regarding the Palestinian people, you know, when they say from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, when it is with the context of kicking Jews out of this land or denying Jewish rights on all over the land, this is something that I do not accept, but my initial goal and also what really drives me to do what I do is basically to meet with these people, not with the people that already agree with me, and see where we can, you know, basically make changes and how we can, you know, basically to learn also the mindset so we can advance forward, basically.
You know, and I want to ask you about your engagement with the Palestinians, in air quotes, the minorities, the Arab-speaking residents here in Judea and Samaria. Many people are afraid to engage directly, afraid for their well-being, afraid of terror attacks, afraid that they might be assaulted. There are entire cities and towns and villages in the same region where I live that Jewish people are not welcome to visit, and people who mistakenly enter these towns could be physically harmed. How do you go about speaking with all of these people that you're meeting with? Do you visit those villages? Are you afraid?
I'm cautious, but I'm not afraid. I mean, I do take precautions and I do keep some basic rules to be out of harms and out of danger, even though I know that I enter the kingdom of the unknown. But I must tell you from my experience, and I met with a lot of Palestinians in most of the areas of Judea and Samaria, whether it's Beit Lechem, refugee camps, villages, anywhere basically which is with tension, I already been there. And I must say, to the credit of the Palestinians, that they do know how to protect their guests. They do know how to make sure that if you are coming with good intentions, you will be out of harm's reach. And this is basically proof, fact that I have been to.
Inon, please, on that note, just hang on for a moment. We're going to be taking a short commercial break. Everyone, don't go away. Inon will be with us right after this break and telling us about his visits.
Hey everyone, this is Ari Folder. I want to invite you all to join me on my weekly show, Bulletproof, here on Israel News Talk Radio. It's the weekly show we discover, expose, and destroy all anti-Israel propaganda that's spread throughout the universe, both from outside Israel, including also inside Israel. Join me every week, and let's defend Israel together.
Bulletproof. Live every Sunday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. U.S. Eastern time.
Welcome back to the show. This is David Ha'ivri, a Hebrew in the Heartland on Israel News Talk Radio. And today we're speaking with Inon Dan Kehati, who is a, and I'm stopping for a moment to describe what he is, because he was upset earlier when I described him as a peace activist. He does not like to be called a peace activist because there are so many paid opportunists who are operating under that title and corrupting the true meaning of this agenda. But Inon works very hard in order to bring forth normalization in Israel between the Jews and the Arabs. And when I say in Israel, Inon agrees with me that Judea and Samaria is part of Israel, and the residents who are not Jewish here need to be included but not have a political agenda. So he is against the failed two-state solution and supports civil rights, human rights for the residents and living in a normal atmosphere. And he works very hard to clean up the hate. Just before we left for the commercial, Inon was telling us about his visits to areas in the Palestinian Authority, which many people might consider to be dangerous. Actually, Inon, too, was describing the dangers, the actual dangers of visiting in these places. And, well, Inon, please tell us about your ventures into these areas.
And they know what I'm about, and they know also where I'm coming from. And also, I must add that I always tell them, and I always tell anyone, basically, that there is not going to be genuine peace before we're going to normalize the relationship, which means that before we're going to see Jews with kippah and tzitzit walking freely in Bethlehem and Ramallah and anywhere basically in the land, there's not going to be peace. So, you know, and I must also say to, you know, people that are afraid to go to these areas, be cautious. Don't take adventures and know exactly what you do, and make sure that you have a Palestinian that you can trust on to be with you there. Don't go by yourself, and don't go to unnecessary adventures. And also, the basic rules basically to going there is not to speak Hebrew too much loudly in public, and not to flaunt on this that you are Israeli or a Jew, not to mention a Zionist, and basically keep it on the low, but don't radiate that you are afraid, you know? When you walk on the streets in Ramallah and Bethlehem, you know, people sense fear. And I think that, that's more or less what I want to say about this.
Friends, we are speaking with Inon Dan Kehati, and he is, you can find him on Facebook. Over the past couple of years, he has been initiating engagement with our non-Jewish residents of Judea and Samaria, and with Jewish people all over. Particularly in the so-called right-wing camp, and that's another term that sometimes I have some difficulty with. But in any case, he engages with both sides of the unexpected peace enthusiasts, people who really do want to have a normal existence here in the land of Israel. And as we heard, he supports the idea of Israel's sovereignty in all of these areas. You know, I'd like to ask you about a post that you recently put up on Facebook and is getting a lot of traction, a lot of comments about Nabil. Can you tell us about Nabil and about his predicament?
Well, Nabil will tell you best himself, you know, if you will interview him, but I will say it shortly. Nabil is the kind of person that you really want him to be as your next door neighbor. Nabil is an Arab that doesn't really identify himself as a Palestinian. I mean, he was born Muslim, but now he is, I think he's atheist, but he's a big believer in peace and coexistence, and he knows the reality from both sides. And recently, in the last year, I think since Trump got elected, even though it's not my business to speak about Trump, I basically kind of support Trump. I mean, definitely against Hillary. But since Nabil started to post stuff about Trump and criticize also things that are not cool in Israel, you know, regarding hate from Jews towards Arabs with no reason, you know, something that he also experienced, then Nabil, who used to post, you know, and still post the very Zionist ideas on his wall, has become basically a target to attacks by people that are so-called pro-Israelis. And basically, I am very sad that the people that are, you know, people that are our, you know, part of this land and people that really, you know, recognize us and legitimize our rights and all of this stuff, when they become a target to attacks, it's sad. And now Nabil, along with, I guess, other reasons, he wants to leave the country because he doesn't want to live with all this hate. And as a friend of Nabil, I contacted him before I made this post, of course, sent him this post. And you know, that's now the base of a discussion right now on my wall. And it's very interesting, you know, because if people will see the comments, they will see, I believe that they will see also a very intelligent, in the most part, a very intelligent discussion by both sides, people that agree, people that don't agree. But mostly I'm happy to say that there's a lot of love that Nabil receives right now because of this post. And because I did that, I'm happy with this post, basically.
I want to hear from you if you can explain to us.
Sorry to cut you. Also, there's another thing that you said before. You said something about, you know, the two-state solution and this and that and the third. Something that I really want to emphasize is the fact that most Israelis right now and most Jews that are involved in meetings with Palestinians and, you know, again, with the peace NGOs and all that, they basically do not understand and do not, they basically radiate a very problematic identity of the Jewish people. I mean, those people basically say, take all Judea and Samaria, build a Palestinian state, we will remove the settlements from there, no Jews, and then we're going to have peace. This is something that I cannot understand, and I'm sure that you also cannot. And what I want to say and stress in this point is that when we're coming and engaging with Palestinians with such a weak ideology and weak beliefs, no wonder there's no peace.
I really agree with what she's saying. I understand where you're coming from. I think that a lot of people who think that they know what the solution needs to be have this imaginary vision of the realities on the ground and an imaginary vision of the people who live here on the ground on both sides. And a lot of these people who are pressuring and have been pressuring Israel for years to adopt a two-state solution and to allow the PLO to establish a state in the West Bank, in air quotes, and in Gaza, and they think that that will bring peace, those people don't really know a lot about the people and the culture who live here in the land.
Not only that, I don't think that they know too much also about their own culture. I think that they misinterpret a lot of basic values that we must embrace and must cherish and stick on. And also in the Middle East, the weak does not get peace. The weak basically will get harassed and, you know, and if you are coming and radiating weakness and too much Western thinking, there's no wonder that the people consider us as outsiders.
I want to get back to Nabil, and I want to try to understand and to give our listeners some insight regarding Nabil and his position, kind of to understand, because I don't know how much room we have given in our thought to this reality. A person like Nabil, what does he actually want? What is his position?
Nabil is basically a normal person that lives in Jerusalem. He has a small business. And he also, you know, as an Arab Israeli, he goes very often to friends, business, family, all over the West Bank, Judea and Samaria. People like Nabil that consider himself a Zionist because he believes in the right of the Jewish people on Eretz Israel. People like Nabil basically reflect the shifting identity of people that were born, let's say, in the 60s and grew up inside the Israeli society. And also Nabil is American as well. He got also, I think he also grew up in America. And he also understand, you know, the enlightened world, you know. He can look at the world in the goggles of being, you know, very balanced in his judgment. And people like Nabil that basically understand and recognize the good, the bad, and the dirty from both sides. When people like Nabil feel that Israel is not their home anymore because the feeling and the hate, the hatred is that is increasing here and the division, then we need to ask ourselves what we need to fix. People like Nabil don't want to be part of this homeland anymore. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do know what you mean. And I'm trying to help.
And one more thing, sorry to cut you. You know, also a lot of people, and you will see it on the post, they test Nabil if he is Israeli patriot, anti-Zionist, pro-Zionist, like asking him a question, what do you think about Ayat Tamimi? You know, so if he say that he think that Ayat Tamimi, you know, the Shirley Temple, how they call her, the Palestinian girl that basically is in jail right now, if he's for Ayat Tamimi, he's the enemy. I mean, this is how people judge people nowadays, and it's ridiculous. I mean, Nabil came with us to do a cleanup event in Tkoa, a Jewish community in the mountain of Judea. I mean, what else do people want that other people will express to show that they are not enemies? To show more than that, that they are allies, that they are part of us, that they love us.
Oy non, how I wish everything you believe is true.
Listen, everyone, we're taking a short commercial break, and we will be right back with Inon Dan Kahati right after the break. So don't go away.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country from Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back. This is David Ivory, a Hebrew in the Heartland on Israel News Talk Radio. And today we are speaking with Inon Dan Kahati, who is working tirelessly to... What is he doing? Inon, what are you doing? He is trying to develop a realistic solution or situation in Israel, in Judea and Samaria, in all of the land, where minorities can participate and be part of the Israeli society without having demands to establish a separate so-called Palestinian state. He is working to clean up the hate. And he is going into places where many Jewish people do not go. He does not like to be called a peace activist, but he is really making change on the ground. Inon, thank you for coming on the show. What else can you tell us, Inon?
I mean, what else? But, you know.
So basically, what you are trying to expose is a reality where minorities in Israel, and Israel, I say in the greater sense, including Judea and Samaria, the Arabic minorities in this area potentially could be citizen residents of the state of Israel and live peacefully in this environment.
Definitely. I think this is the future. I think that basically, if we interpret also what we are commanded by the Torah and the idea of Ger Toshav, native residents or something like that, I mean, this is something that we need to raise on the table. I mean, I believe 100% that Palestinians and Jews and all of the identity that live here have to live under the same equal human rights. And I do a distinction between human rights and political rights. Human rights basically mean that you can live in the big cities, you can travel anywhere, you can work anywhere, you can study anywhere, these kind of things. Political rights also have conditions, have also demands, have also, you know, duties. But if we will at least recognize and implement equal human rights for everyone here, you know, this thing might, the paradigms might change, you know, instead of the division and the two-state solution to really live in a one-state solution and a state named Israel. And when I test these ideas with Palestinians, I must say that I'm really surprised. I think that there's now more openness to also hear such an ideas like this, that, you know, basically we all know that the two-state solution is dead. You know, actually it was not alive in the first place, but you know, they don't want to live under the tyranny of the dictatorship of either Abbas or Hamas. And I understand them. And I think that us as Israelis, as Jews, if we are claiming that we are sovereigns here, we need not only to take care of all of Eretz Israel, but also all on the native that lives in Eretz Israel. This is something that no one else will do.
But I cannot
myself demand, you know, human rights for Palestinians, you know, like talking with them and, wanting them to have the same rights that I have. It's something that I cannot do.
You know, and I must ask you, I want to just be clear for our listeners and to understand, are you naive? Are you not aware of the Hamas and the terrorists and the PLO? How would you deal with them?
Well, this is a very basic thing. Hamas is an enemy. Hamas is a body that must be fought and basically disarmed or deported or whatever. I do know that I am depicted a little bit as naive because I do believe in peace while a lot of people now lost hope. But I'm guided and I allow myself to be guided by the Torah and the words of the prophets of Israel. And if they say that one day they will come and there's going to be peace, then I'm totally believing and working accordingly. I do know also that we don't live in Kumbaya, Lala Land, and there might be also war or wars before there's going to be peace. But I try to act and make alliances regardless of the tough conditions. And by the way, also, you know, the PA and Hamas and all these organizations, basically, I need to stay kind of, you know, not to do things that will be too much, you know, in their face. And you can understand why. And especially to defend my Palestinian friends. So, you know, it's complicated, but I manage.
Complicated is a key to understanding and existing in Israel and the Middle East. Things here are complicated. They're not simple, black and white. They're more complex.
Definitely. But it's also a challenge. And I think that our story here, after we came back to the land of Israel, the story between Jews and Palestinians here is something that creates a lot of, you know, and this is something that we talked about while we made the interview on video last week. It's something that is so small in the world, makes such a big impact, regardless of the size of the conflict, the land, also the casualties. But I believe that this is also a potential to raise awareness to something very important that we do not put too much when we talk about peace, which is redemption, Geula, and the messages of the prophets of Israel. And again, this is something that is something so deep in the work of the home that we do. And we cannot separate the spiritual elements of this, you know, the path that we walk, and also where we want to reach.
You know, we've just got a couple of minutes before the end of the show. I'd like to ask you to give a plug to your cleanup work with the home. Tell our listeners about those cleanup projects. What do you do and why?
Well, first, cleaning the hate is an idea that I thought about. You know, it's a long story. You know, I know that there's a couple of minutes. Cleaning the hate is basically an idea that set to combine activities and ideology. So basically, when people clean up trash, you know, whether it's the simplest thing of picking a cigarette butt, they're being connected also to the general idea that we are developed, and we're creating alliances while we do that, and we clean the streets of Jerusalem or Hebron or Tekoa or Aida refugee camp or Gaza in parallel.
So you're getting Jews and Arabs to come together in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria to clean up the streets, to pick up cigarette butts.
It's just to show love for the land, just to teach people values, simple values, and to radiate also a picture that we don't see. I mean,
so,
of unity.
So basically, you're saying
from the bottom,
if we can fight for this land, then we should be able to bend down and pick up some dirt and keep the land clean.
Right, but you know, the more important idea behind cleaning the hate is the Solomon trial. Basically, you know, King Solomon, rest in peace, he basically showed and proved how you can identify who is the real mother while he said that he is going to cut the baby, right? This is something that we took in a way that if you are not willing to, if you want to cut also the land and divide it, then you are not the home, the land owner. And same about your home. I mean, if you are not willing to bow down and pick up a small cigarette butt and take out your ego, then probably this is not your home. So we kind of put into a test, you know, we test, and Be'ezrat Hashem, we will also make more clarifications about who's the land owner and who's part of this home and who's not, and maybe who has too much ego that he cannot even do this simple thing, you know, for the land that we call Eretz HaKodesh, the Holy Land. And we need to treat it as holy and not as a dumpster. So you see, we basically take humane ideas with spiritual ideas, and we combine them also with politics. It's not easy, but it's challenging.
Yadon Dan Kahati from the home, I want to thank you for your positive outlook on life and your enthusiasm for bringing peace and normal living here between the people who live here. And thank you for coming on the show and for sharing with us.
Toda rabba, David, for this opportunity, and yevarchem Hashem Tzion u'betuv Yerushalayim.
And that, my friends, was Yadon Dan Kahati, who is doing some really unusual but amazing work in the heartland of Israel. We're going to be hearing more from Yadon in the future, and you can follow him on Facebook and see the Facebook Live videos that he is posting, speaking with different people and sharing his experience here on the land. We've really had some amazing days recently. After the American President Trump announced that he recognizes Israel's sovereignty and recognizes our capital, Jerusalem, very unusual vote in the United Nations against the decision of the United States to recognize Israel's sovereignty. And President Trump has declared that he will take names and he will stop funding countries that voted against the United States in the United Nations. We've already seen that President Trump and Ambassador Nikki Haley, the Wonder Woman, the hero, an American hero, amazing woman. I can only say great things and pray for great things for these true leaders of the American people who are standing with Israel and will bring a great blessing to their nation. Already, they are working to cut back American funding to the United Nations around the numbers of $285 million. That's a great, great savings for the United States. Who would have thought that standing with Jerusalem would have saved the American people so much money. That's already a blessing, and there's more to come, I am sure. Only more blessings will come to the American people for standing with Israel. So, friends, we're coming to the end of today's show. Do share the show with your friends, send in any comments, contact me, and let me know if you're enjoying the show and if you have any ideas you would like me to address on the show, and make your plans to visit here in the heartland of Israel and get the good word out about the land. So this is David Ivory. Until next week, Shalom from the land.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at israelnewstalkradio.com.
Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.